Well, I could tell early on this evening this was going to be a tough crowd. So I hear coughing and sneezing and all kinds of different things going on. God bless you all. And you know, that's the thing. And the Lord showed me this early on as we were serving or getting ready and, you know, worshiping, is that this is a Thursday night and we're all coming in. What are you doing? Videotaping me or what? Oh, pictures. No. So you want candid, right? Candid, okay. So, and this is a Thursday night, right? And you've all come in. There's another one from different places. You've been doing different things. Some of you came from work. Some of you dashed across the county to get here. Some of you are stuck in traffic. Some of you have different kinds of concerns. Some of you are sick. Some of you locked your keys in your car. You know, a lot of things to bring us here, and we're kind of like this, you know. And Jesus, when he sees these little things that don't go exactly right, even though we really try hard to make everything flow very smoothly, he just looks down and he smiles at us because he knows the human condition and he knows what that's like, you know? I mean, once he was arrested, you don't think he was in real control, do you? I know he's God, but do you feel like he was really in control of things? He got messy, he got sweaty, and things got bad. And he understands, and he just loves us when he sees those little problems occur. And he knows how we're coming in here tonight, just all scattered like that. Mm-hmm. So, God loves that in you. You know that? That's it, because it makes you human. And that's kind of why he instituted all of this stuff and all of these things that we're here to talk about tonight. And this isn't even the sermon. So, that was just a word that I had with you. So, what is that about? Okay, well, we're going through Holy Week. Began Sunday, that Palm Sunday. Jesus entered Jerusalem. Okay, he's been in the city for a few days now, teaching and causing difficulties and doing lots of things. And then this evening, the disciples come together in an upper room for a Last Supper. And Jesus institutes the body and blood of his body and blood, okay? He tells them that they are to do this, that they are to do it in remembrance of him. You just heard what Paul learned about it himself. And then he got up from the table and he washed their feet, okay? And all of these things are very important in joining together with our humanness. And so here we are on that Last Supper night, and the meal is about to be served, the Last Supper, okay? And then things are going to change, and you're going to go through that tomorrow with Good Friday, and then through Holy Saturday, and then the Great Vigil, and the Resurrection. But here we are on that night of the Last Supper, okay? And if you remember, on Sunday, at the beginning of all of this, Father Bill talked to you in his sermon about thanksgiving. And he talked about us giving thanks to him and how we give thanks in every service, that the Eucharist means thanksgiving, right? And he reminded you that thanksgiving is not just saying thanks, but it requires an action. It requires something to be done on your part, right? And one of those things, particularly, is worship. Worship is an action that says, thank you. Coming here tonight, after all of that difficulty that you've had today, is saying thank you. Okay? And so, tonight, Jesus does the same thing with love. And love is more than just saying, I love you. Love requires an action as well. It must be demonstrated. I mean, you think about it. Go back and think of any of the romantic movies or stories that you ever know. There always comes this tension, this time of decision when one of the lovers will have to make a sacrifice and, in essence, just demonstrating their love for the other one, proving how much they love the other one and that they're really sincere. That's what makes those stories romantic. Okay? So something has to happen. Okay, one example I thought of, because we just saw it recently, was Beauty and the Beast. Okay, we saw the new version that they did, and you know, thanks to my daughter, I've probably seen the animated version about 10,000 times back in the 1990s, so I knew it really well. And one of the things that just kind of came to my mind was, you know, Belle was held captive in the castle by the beast, right? And she gets away, and she and the horse are running off, you know, and then they get attacked by wolves, right? And they're set upon by these wolves, and right there in the middle of it comes the beast, and he attacks the wolves, you know, and there's this incredible fight, and the wolves are all vanquished and sent away, but the beast is injured and he falls and he can't do anything. Well, first of all, you see, the beast has just demonstrated an act of selflessness, an act of love to her by risking his own life. He's never done anything like that before. And then he's helpless right there, and in that moment she can run away from her captor, you know, because he's helpless, right? But instead, she turns and makes the decision to help him. And she takes him back to the castle, nurses him back to health. And this, you know, leads to more of those acts of not selfishness, but selflessness towards each other. And their complete devotion grows to each other over time. And you see that through the movie. And this is a good example because, you know, this original man, this man who was a beast, the main character, couldn't love. That's why he was turned into a beast. And his job was to learn how to love people before it was over, right? Because of the rose falling, you know, rose petals falling. He was a spoiled, selfish brat. That's why he'd become a beast. So he had to learn how to love. And this is that process that we're talking about. He had to learn this idea of love before he could be turned back. So love requires an action, just like Thanksgiving does, okay? Love requires demonstration. You have to demonstrate your love for someone. This is the importance of marriage. Okay, now marriage has been, you know, maligned recently and is certainly falling out of favor, it seems like, but it is incredibly important. I mean, think about it this way. Do you love someone enough to pledge yourself to them for the rest of your life without even considering the possibility of divorce? Well, if you say no, I think I'll just live with them for a while. How much is that really showing that you love that person? Not much. Deciding to be married is an incredible act of selflessness. I mean, it's, you know, selfish too, because you get some benefits out of it, but you're deciding to give your life to this person. Okay? That's why it's so important. Okay? So love has to be demonstrated. It must be proven. You say you love me, then show me. Now, if you don't know, Amanda and I were talking about this the other day, but that reminds you of a song. Does anybody remember a song like that?
Yeah.
I went back and looked up some of the lyrics, and I just have to share this with you. From My Fair Lady, okay, there's a song called Show Me, and Eliza says, she sings this, by the way, words, 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 I'm so sick of words. I get words all day through, first from him, now from you. Is that all you blighters do? Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Tell me no dreams filled with the desire. If you're on fire, show me. That's the whole point right there. Love requires an action. You have to show that you love. And so on this night, Jesus does just that. In John 13, verse 1, I'm going to read it to you again. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. You see, this little introduction, these first three verses, is setting it up for us. This is an act of love. Okay? That's what's going on. You know, Jesus had never washed their feet before. Okay? He was, you know, he lived rather austerely, right? And he didn't command a lot out of his disciples, like, go fetch me some grapes, you know, nothing like that. But he was the master, okay? And they were the disciples. which meant that they were subservient to him. Now, if he'd said, wash my feet, they would have done it in an instant. Okay? And here, now in the end, after he's just told them about this love feast that they're to do to remember him, he gets up and he washes their feet. Something never heard of before, okay, in their time frame. Never heard of him doing that. He's never done that for anyone else. You know, he had talked a lot about serving others. He had demonstrated that to them. He'd shown them this to other people and through his actions towards complete strangers. But here he's demonstrating his love by washing their feet. Okay? He shows them. He lowers himself to a place of a servant when he is the Messiah. He shows them that way that he loves them. You know, that's why Peter protested so much, okay? You know, he didn't get it, obviously, right? You know, but Peter really demonstrates for us the enormity of Jesus' action here because, you know, none of the disciples expected this. And Peter, as so much is the case, is the one who just blurts out what all the rest of them are thinking, okay? What are you doing? You're not going to wash my feet. It was so far outside the social norm of the day, it just blew their minds. But Jesus did it to show them love. He explains his actions very well. Verse 13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." I have set you an example. He's showing us a way to show love to others. And he goes on and explains further. And if you read on down past this passage tonight, you go to verse 34 and you see this. Because this just brings it all into focus. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So how would you show your love? Get down and wash somebody's feet, maybe. Well, if a ferocious beast saves you from the wolves and is laying there injured, you could put him on your horse, Philippe, and take him home. Or you could do some other menial task for somebody. The key being setting aside your pride or your position or your dignity and serving them. Washing feet is a really good way of showing that. Jesus' command is love one another. You know, it's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to have warm fuzzies inside for you. But that doesn't prove anything, does it? You have to do something. You sacrifice something for them. You do something selfless. You see, when you come up here tonight, you wash someone's feet, you're showing them that you love them. The love that Jesus has for us all. You're sharing Jesus' love with each other. You're doing something that's uncomfortable or you're maybe unaccustomed to. I don't know how often you wash people's feet. It's different than your norm. That demonstrates love. I mean, do you love your fellow believers here? Then you should be able to wash their feet. And Jesus wasn't finished with foot washing, was he? Did he go on and show us more about how much he loved us tomorrow night, Sunday? This whole week is about God and Jesus showing us how much he loves us. How much he was willing to do for us human creatures in our fallibility. And this is just a first act done in humility and submission. It's just foot washing. By the end of the week, it's going to be death. So what are you willing to do to show your love for Jesus? Come to church every week? Pretty good. Come out on a Thursday night, on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, and worship Him? It's a good start. What about loving each other? How do you do that? What can you do to show others that you love them? Hey, serve them soup at the kitchen, his soup kitchen, you know. You can help people when they're in need or sick or injured. And what about telling them about the most important person in your life, Jesus? What about saving them from death and eternity in hell? It's a pretty good thing to show. See, you telling people about your relationship with Jesus shows that you love them. It's what Jesus meant when he said, love one another as I have loved you. Share it around. Don't keep it to yourself. And you can say you love Jesus and you love your neighbor, but show me. Love requires action. Love must be demonstrated. Love must be proved. How are you going to prove that to him? How are you doing in your life at proving that you love him and your neighbor? And that's a good question to ask yourself in these next 3 days. How are you doing at proving in your life that you love Jesus and love your neighbor? A good question for these next 3 days. If we go through this week, this ultimate act of love is what we're playing out this week. God's love for you. How are you doing? Amen.